"Whenever you're ready," he added.
"Sir, are you really going to write on a jam sandwich?" said Polly.
"What?"
The Major looked down and laughed. "Oh, no. Excuse me. I really mustn't miss meals. Blood sugar, you know.
Only it's oozing, sir. Don't mind us, we've eaten."
It took an hour with many interruptions and corrections and two more sandwiches. The Major used up quite a lot of notebook and occasionally had to stop and stare at the ceiling.
"And then we were thrown in here," said Polly, sitting back.
"Pushed, really," said Egerina. "Nudged."
"Hmm," said Cloxton. "You say Corporal Strappy, as you knew him, was suddenly very ill at the thought of going into battle?"
"Yes, sir."
"And in a tavern in Plots you really need Prince Heinrich and the fracas?"
"In or about the fracas, sir. And I didn't know it was him at the time, sir."
"I see you haven't mentioned the action on the hilltop where, according to Lieutenant Blouse, your prompt work got the enemy code book."
"Not really worth mentioning, sir. We didn't do much with it."
"Oh, I don't know. Because of you and that nice man from the newspaper, the Alliance has had two regiments trotting around in the mountains after some guerrilla leader called Tiger. Prince Heinrich insisted, and is, in fact, in command. He is, you could say, a sore loser. Very sore, according to rumour."
"The newspaper writer believed all that stuff," said Polly, amazed.
"I don't know, but he certainly wrote it down. You say Lord Rust offered to let you all go home quietly?"
"Yes, sir."
"And the consensus of opinion was that he could stick it up his jumper, sir." "Oh, yes, I couldn't read my own writing. J-U-M. Cloxton carefully wrote the word in capital letters and then said, "I'm not saying this. I am not here. But some senior people on our side are wondering if you would just quietly go."
The question hung in the air like a corpse from a beam.
"I'll put that down as jumper too, then, shall I?" said Cloxton. "Some of us have got nowhere to go to," said Tonker.
"Or with,"
said Shufti.
"We haven't done anything wrong," said Polly.
"Jumper it is, then," said the Major.
He folded up his little spectacles and sighed.
"They won't even tell me what charges are going to be made."
"Being bad girls," said Tonker. "Who are we fooling, sir? The enemy just wanted to be quietly rid of us, and the General wants the same thing. That's the trouble about the good guys and the bad guys. They're all guys."
"Would we have got a medal, sir, if we'd been men?"
Shufti demanded.
"Yep, certainly. And Blouse would have been promoted on the spot, I imagine. But right now we're at war, and this might not be the time..."
"To thank a bunch of abominable women," Polly suggested. Cloxton smiled.
"I was going to say, to lose concentration. It's the political branch who are pushing for this, of course. They want to stop word getting around. And High Command want this over quickly for the same reason."
"When is all this going to start?" said Polly.
"In about half an hour."
"This is stupid," said Tonker. "They're in the middle of a war, and they're going to take the time to hold a trial for a few women who haven't even done anything wrong."
"The General has insisted," said Cloxton. "He wants this cleared out of the way."
"And what authority has this meeting got?" said Polly coldly.
"Thousands of men under arms," said Cloxton. "Sorry. The trouble is, when you say to a general, 'You and whose army,' he just has to point out of the window. But I intend to prove that the meeting should be a court-martial. You all kissed the Duchess? You took the shilling? I say that makes it military business."
"And that's good, is it?"
"Well, it means there are procedures," said the Major. "The last abomination from Nuggan was against jigsaw puzzles. They break the world into pieces, he says. That's making people think at last. The army may be crazy, but at least it's crazy by numbers. It's reliably insane. Your sleeping friend, will you leave her here?"
"No," said the squad as one woman. "She needs my constant attention," said Egerina.
"If we leave her, she might have a sudden attack of vanishing without trace," said Tonka.
"We stick together," said Polly. "We don't leave a man behind." The room chosen for the tribunal was a ballroom. More than half the keep had been taken back, Polly learned, but the distribution of ground was erratic. The Alliance still held the central buildings and the armoury, but was entirely surrounded by Borogravian forces. The current prize to fight for was the main gate complex, which hadn't been built to withstand attack from the inside. What was happening out there now was a brawl, a midnight bar fight, but on a huge scale.
And, since there were various war engines atop the towers, now occupied by either side, the keep was shooting at itself, in the finest traditions of the circular firing squad.